So we will be finishing our series this morning in Ruth. So it's Ruth 4 if you've got a Bible. Love is all around me, so the song goes. In one sense, we see that in our world, don't we? We, particularly in the Western world, what love is everywhere. From children's movies, it's in there. Adverts, books, movies, songs, love is everywhere. But in reality, we're sold a knockoff version of love. We're sold love the feeling. Now, love as a feeling is incredibly powerful. And God has designed it that way. If it wasn't, men, and particularly shy men, would never do anything about it. Life would be like a never-ending children's disco with the girls on one side and the boys on the other. It wouldn't be very interesting, would it? But love is so much more than a feeling. Love is so much more than a feeling. I'm going to confess that on occasion, I listen to a bit of Burt Bacharach. Does anyone like Burt Bacharach? You're probably quite shocked to that, you know. I quite like my dance music, but what the world needs now is love, sweet love. What a lovely song. But actually, it's very true. What the world needs most now is real love. And David Icke, who I don't agree with on anything really, but he says this: the word love has become so devalued that we have to put words in front of it like unconditional. Love by its very nature is unconditional. Love is an action word, it's not a feeling. And what our world needs now is love. Love conquers all, true love. So this morning we're going to look at redeeming love. And we're going to finish our series in the book of Ruth and find out how life changed for Naomi and Ruth through the loving kindness of others. And this morning, we're going to think about how love also can transform our lives and the lives of others around us. And before we read, I'm going to set the scene. So if you're here for the first time and you're thinking, I've got no clue what you're talking about, that's absolutely fine. I'm going to paint the picture a little bit. So the book of Ruth is one of the shorter books of the Bible. You could easily miss it as you flick through your Bible. And it tells the story of Naomi. And it tells the story of how she tragically lost her husband and her two sons, but she finds hope as she returns home and through the loving kindness of her daughter-in-law and Boaz. And we've got to the stage in the story that they've returned. The catastrophe's hit them. They've returned during the time of the harvest. And as Ruth starts to glean and as Ruth starts to gather food, romance starts to blossom. And in our last chapter, Ruth asked Boaz to marry her in a very unconventional way for us, but was conventional for the time. And Boaz has shown this amazing kindness to Ruth while she's gleaned in his field. And Ray highlighted last week this word, hesed, which is translated in our Bibles, kindness. If you know anything about translation, it's often not easy to translate. And you hear that if you go to somewhere where it's translated into other languages and someone says a short sentence and then it's like, da 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 da, and you're like, how did they get all... It's because translation isn't just a science. It's not easy to do. And for us to understand this word hesed, Bible commentator Daniel Bock said this. He said, this is a strong relational term that wraps up in itself an entire cluster of concepts. All the positive attributes of God: love, mercy, grace, kindness, goodness, benevolence, loyalty, covenant faithfulness. In short, that quality that moves a person to act for the benefit of another without respect to the advantage that it might bring to them. Wow. That's what love is. That's what this kindness is. That's what this hesed is. And when Ruth asked Boaz to marry her, she was asking him to redeem her. This was going to cost Boaz. And we're left with that final verse where it says, where Naomi says in the end of chapter 3, she says, wait, my daughter, until you learn how the matter turns out. For the man will not rest, but will settle the matter today. This is immediate. Boaz will sort this out. So let's read from Ruth chapter 4. It says this:
Now Boaz had gone to the gate and sat down there. And behold, the Redeemer of whom Boaz had spoken came by. And Boaz said, "Turn aside, friend, sit down here." And he turned aside and sat down. And he took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, "Sit down here." So they sat down. Then he said to the Redeemer, "Naomi, who has come back from the country of Moab, is selling the parcel of land that belonged to our relative Elimelech. So I thought I would tell you of it and say, buy it in the presence of those sitting here and in the presence of the elders of my people. If you will not redeem it, if you will redeem it, redeem it. But if you will not, tell me that I may know, for there is no one besides you to redeem it, and I come after you." And he said, "I will redeem it." Then Boaz said, "The day that you buy the field from the hand of Naomi, you also acquire Ruth, the Moabite, the widow of the dead, in order to perpetuate the name of the dead in his inheritance." Then the Redeemer said, "I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I impair my own inheritance. Take my right of redemption for yourself, for I cannot redeem it." Now this was the custom in former times in Israel concerning the redeeming and exchanging to confirm the transaction. The one drew off his sandal and gave it to the other. And this was the manner of attesting in Israel. So when the Redeemer said to Boaz, "Buy it for yourself," he drew off his sandal. Then Boaz said to the elders and all the people, "You are witnesses this day that I have bought from the hand of Naomi all that belonged to Elimelech and all that belonged to Chilion and Mahlon. Also Ruth the Moabite, the widow of Mahlon, I have bought to be my wife, to perpetuate the name of the dead in his inheritance, that the name of the dead may not be cut off from among his brothers and from the gate of this native place. You are witnesses this day." Then all the people who were at the gate and the elders said, "We are witnesses. May the Lord make the woman who is coming into your house like Rachel and Leah, who together built up the house of Israel. May you act worthily in Ephrathah and be renowned in Bethlehem. May your house be like the house of Perez, whom Tamar bore to Judah, because of the offspring that the Lord will give you by this young woman." So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife, and he went into her, and the Lord gave her conception, and she bore a son. Then the woman said to Naomi, "Blessed be the Lord, who has not left you this day without a redeemer, and may his name be renowned in Israel. He shall be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age. For your daughter-in-law, who loves you, who is more to you than seven sons, has given birth to him." Then Naomi took the child and laid him on her lap and became his nurse. And the woman of the neighborhood gave him a name, saying, "A son has been born to Naomi." They named him Obed, and he was the father of Jesse, the father of David. Now these are the generations of Perez. Perez fathered Hezron. Hezron fathered Ram. Ram fathered Abinadab. Abinadab fathered Nashon. Nashon fathered Salmon. Salmon fathered Boaz. Boaz fathered Obed. Obed fathered Jesse. And Jesse fathered David. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, this isn't just a nice story. But Lord, this focuses our attention and it draws us into relationship with you. Thank you, Lord, that what's in here speaks something of what, who you are. And Lord, we pray as we look at this passage, Lord, would you speak to our hearts? Would you reveal your love for us again? And would you send us out in love to the world around us? Pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. This morning I've got 3 points and I won't be able to cover everything. I mean, if I tried to explain all of the details of what's going on, we'd be here and the barbecue would pass us by. So I'm not going to attempt to do that. But what I'm going to do is attempt to draw out 3 things that I think God wants to speak to us about today. And the first is this. God wants his people to show love for the poor. The story of Ruth clearly shows how God's laws, when put into practice, made provision for those who were poor and needy. And there are 3 laws particularly which show how God desired his people to care for the poor. And the first one is gleaning. And this is primarily in chapter 2 where we look at this. But those who owned land were instructed not to harvest right up to the edge of their land. They were told not to go back over everything again. They would harvest and then they would leave the edges of the land. They would leave grapes on the vines. They would leave food so that those who were poor and had no other means, no welfare state, could go and glean and could come and find food. And Ruth, as a foreigner, and without anyone to provide for her, was unable to feed herself or Naomi. But through this law and through Boaz's adherence to the law, she could find a place where she could get food. And we see Boaz's kindness in the way that he looks after her. The two laws that come out particularly in this chapter is this kinsman redeemer, or Goel. And Naomi's final words in chapter 3 emphasize that Boaz is going to waste no time, that he will get this matter sorted. And the town gate is where legal matters were sorted. So he gets there first thing and gathers everything, everyone he needs to enable this legal transaction to take place. And to understand the laws around kinsman redeemer, we need to understand God's provision in the promised land. You might have one of these in the back of your Bible. You have a map and you think, oh, that's very interesting. But it goes further than this. The tribes were allotted a space of land, but each family was allotted a space of land. They were given land, but the land was God's. So if you wanted to sell your land, you couldn't sell it permanently. They kind of worked in 49-year cycles. So if you decided to sell your land, it was only sold up until the year of Jubilee, and then it would be returned to the family who were originally given it. Leviticus 25 says this. This will capture what we're saying. So it says, if your brother becomes poor and sells part of his property, then his nearest redeemer, that's the closest in line, family line, shall come and redeem what his brother has sold. If a man has no one to redeem it, and then becomes prosperous and finds sufficient means to redeem it, let him calculate the years since he sold it and pay back the balance to the man to whom he sold it, and then return to his property. But if he does not have sufficient means to recover it, then what he sold shall remain in the hand of the buyer until the year of Jubilee. In the Jubilee, it shall be released, and he shall return to his property. This would mean two things. It would mean that poverty in one generation wouldn't then affect the next generation. If you had someone who was terrible with money and wasted it and squandered it and your land was sold, actually if it was really bad and right at the start, you would have to wait 40, 45 years. But actually at that point, the land would be returned to you and you would have the opportunity to provide for your family. There was no land grabbing. But the second thing it means is that a close family member had responsibility to help and support his brother or when they went into need. The Goel, the kinsman redeemer, was the person who would redeem the land for their relative. And this is the first matter that Boaz presents to this nearer redeemer, who's unnamed. He's unnamed. The land that Elimelech had sold. So when he went to Moab, he sold his land. And then when they've come back, they're there to redeem the land. So this needed to be redeemed. But when this unnamed, closer relative, he was probably under the impression that actually, if I buy this land, this is good for me financially. So where? Naomi, she's a widow. She's pretty old. What's going to happen to that land? It's going to come to me. So he declares his willingness to redeem the land. But Boaz then discloses to him what it would really cost. And we come to this thing of levirate marriage. And this is a weird one for us, okay? This is slightly strange when we look at this. But the responsibility for the land included the responsibility for raising up heirs so that each family name would continue in the land. And this was the responsibility of family. So Deuteronomy 25... It's easiest to say it from the Bible passages rather than to try and explain. This is what it says. So it says this, verse 5. If brothers dwell together and one of them dies and has no son, the wife of the dead man shall not be married outside the family to a stranger. Her husband's brother shall go into her and take her as his wife and perform the duty of the husband's brother to her. And the son whom she bears shall succeed to the name of his dead brother, that his name may not be blotted out from Israel. And if the man does not wish to take his brother's wife, then his brother's wife shall go to the gate of the elders and say, My husband's brother refuses to perpetuate his brother's name in Israel. He will not perform the duty of a husband's brother to me. Then the elders of that city shall call him and speak to him. And if he persists, saying, I do not wish to take her, then his brother's wife shall go up to him in the presence of the elders and pull his sandal off his foot and spit in his face. And she shall say, so shall it be to the man who does not build up his brother's house. And the name of his house shall be called in Israel, the house of him who had his sandal pulled off. So if you ever see anyone walking around with one sandal, be wary. But this, D.A. Leggett calls this the duty of love. It was loving to continue the family line of your brother, of your family, raising up offspring for a dead relative which would bear their name. Would this have an impact potentially on the inheritance that you had? Yes, that you would give to your children. So the responsibility of the kinsman redeemer would be to marry Ruth and to have children with her, and they would bear the name of Mahlon. They would bear the name of Elimelech, and they would continue this family. This was not this love that Boaz and Ruth had. It was costly. This was going to cost Boaz. But this was also an act of providing for the poor, because this meant that Ruth had an opportunity to be provided for. It gave her a future. So this close redeemer didn't want this, and he had the shame of... He doesn't say he had his face spat into, but he did have the sandal removed. And this clears the way for Boaz to become the kinsman redeemer. And he's serious about his duty. When we read verse 10 and we listen to what he says, he is aware of his duty to perpetuate the name of the dead, and for continuing the name of Mahlon and ensuring the safety of Ruth and Naomi. We've gone into a bit of depth there, but we need to understand what's going on. The second thing, is redeeming love changes lives. When Naomi returned from Moab, she says, don't call me Naomi, call me Mara, because I am bitter. She had been hurt, she had been broken by her circumstances. She had nothing to offer either of her daughters-in-law. She sends them back, but Ruth chooses to stay with her. Naomi can offer her nothing. And Ruth was a foreign widow with little rights or opportunities. But now, less than probably a month, I don't know how long a harvest is, but I think probably a month is enough to harvest. So less than a month later, hope is restored through the redeeming love of Boaz. Love has transformed. Ruth has been transformed. Well, she's no longer considered a foreigner, but she's a wife. She's part of the people. She's fully integrated into Israel. Hope has returned. And God blesses Ruth. It says in verse 13, and the Lord gave her conception. She'd been married 10 years before and not had children. There's no contraception, not had children. God blessed her, and she conceives a son. God brings about a miracle for her. Although the book of Ruth is called Ruth, the focus really is on Naomi. It starts with Naomi, it ends focused on Naomi. And it returns in verse 14. And her friends praise God for the child, saying, blessed be God who has not left you out without a redeemer. And it's interesting that now the Redeemer becomes the child. You say, he shall be a restorer of life and a nourisher in your old age. And their praise goes further, thanking God for Ruth, this incredible daughter-in-law, who they say is worth more than seven sons. And that was considered like the perfect number. Okay? I don't know. I'm not sure in these days and times it's the perfect number. This was considered the perfect number. She'd lost two sons, but she gained Ruth, who was so worthy. What an example of redeeming love that Ruth showed to Naomi. Verse 15, who loves you? She loves Naomi. Her love and care paved the way for this joy that she was now experiencing. Naomi's life had been transformed by the love of Ruth and the love of Boaz. And if we stop this morning, I'm sure many of us can think of Naomi-like characters. People who used to be in relationship with God, people who used to live life, but circumstances have battered them. Now they won't step foot in a church. Now they're going nowhere with God because they've been hurt because of the situations of life circumstances. And I feel one of the things that Ruth speaks to us about is actually the way that God can use our loving kindness to bring healing to them. And God uses us, doesn't he? That's the one of the things. God uses us. He sends his spirit into us. So as we show loving kindness to those, maybe there's someone in your head that's just come into your mind, oh, they just, life's been difficult and they've lost their way. And maybe God wants you to reach out to them today. Maybe God wants you to be one of those who shows them that loving kindness and they experience something of God's love and kindness through you, and that's part of their restoration. God's purpose has prevailed through the kindness of Boaz. And last week, Ray highlighted the concept, the context of Ruth's story, the period of judges, when everyone did what they wanted to do because there was no king. And Ruth's story sits between the book of Judges and between Samuel, where we start to see the king of Israel rise. And this story is significant because Ruth and Naomi had no clue what the significance of their child's birth was. But the end of the book talks about he was called Obed. He fathered Jesse, who fathered David. The problem of the period of Judges is solved because of the loving kindness that is in the book of Ruth that then provides the way for King David. Naomi and Ruth had no idea of the significance of this child's birth. But the redeeming love that transformed Naomi and Ruth's lives was just a foretaste of a greater descendant than Obed, a greater descendant than David, Jesus. Redeeming love is most clearly seen in Jesus. Throughout the Old Testament, God is seen as the Redeemer. He redeemed Israel from Egypt. It says in Exodus 6:6, I am the Lord, and I bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will deliver you from slavery to them, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great acts of judgment. And in bringing the people out of Egypt, he adopts them as his people. He says, you are my people. He gives them laws. He teaches them how to act. And what we see happening with Ruth and Naomi, They're outside of God's people, living in Moab. Through tragedy, they're brought back, but they find their place in and amongst God's people. And Matthew, if we turn to the beginning of the New Testament, you think, oh, I'm going to read the New Testament, and then you read a lot of names, and you think, wow, this is not the easiest start to a gospel. But the point is, Matthew's pointing out that Jesus is a greater descendant than David. He is the true king that was coming. And verse 5 mentions Boaz and Ruth by name. They find, even though he chose to perpetuate the name of the dead, Boaz's name is remembered in the genealogies because of what he did, because God made it that way. Jesus is this kinsman redeemer. He took upon himself flesh. He became like us so that he could redeem us. He chose to take that right of redemption, even though he didn't have to, even though God didn't have to save us, he chose to save us. When Jesus wrestled in the garden, he said, not my will, but yours. He chose to do God's plan. And this brought us as outsiders, foreigners, into God's family and brings us the safety and security, even more so than Ruth experienced. It gives us that. He provides for us. Colossians 1, verse 21 to 22 says this, "And you who were once alienated and hostile," we were Moabites, okay? We were Moabites. "In mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him." Can you imagine what happened on Boaz and Ruth's marriage day? For us, marriage, the bride comes in white. I don't know whether they did back then. Who knows? But it represents something of the purity. And there's this picture in the Bible of marriage, that Jesus came to marry the church. He came to redeem us and to restore us and bring us into relationship with him. And this picture of what we see in Ruth is what God does with us. He brings us in and presents us as holy and blameless in white, presents us as holy and blameless, and we are in a union with Christ. How amazing is that? He's done it all. The book of Ruth is a beautiful story of kindness, love, and God's faithfulness. And we who know Jesus, have repented of our sins, have experienced his forgiveness, get to experience that love day by day. But let's not forget that God loves us and he wants us to love the world around us. Why do we go do a barbecue on a Sunday afternoon when we could all sit at home? Because we know God loves us and we know that God loves the people of Wilkins. And that's why we do these things. It's because his love's changed our lives and it helps us to love others. Amen.